Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We are in a three-month series called Envision, and this series is taking on three legs. We finished the first leg last week, which was Envision Prayer. And now we're going to go to the second leg, which is Envision Transformation. Envision Transformation. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's a familiar passage. You might not know every word in it, but you'll know a couple of the words. And it probably, if you've been in church for a portion of your life, you'll probably know what's being said here. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I long to be transformed. In 1984, the game was changed, as they say. In 1984, the world was introduced to one of the greatest cultural sensations to ever hit this planet. Now, over 30 years later, this phenomenon is still impacting. When I tell you, and I'm talking about a cultural sensation, I don't want y'all to miss this, because if y'all miss this, your day is shot. In 1984, this cultural sensation came on the scene. I was about 9 or 10 years old when it first happened. Now I'm 41, and I still get chills when I think about it. The first time I sat down and this happened. Y'all don't even understand. Y'all can sit there and look all dead like y'all want to, but when I was 9 or 10 years old and I was sitting in front of my TV with a big old bowl of Captain Crunch, and we didn't have any milk left, and I just put some water in it. I didn't care. I was going to have my cereal, and when that thing came on the TV, I lost my mind. I loved the Transformers. That was my favorite cartoon, and not only that, you know, a few short months later, as the popularity of this show began to just climb up, they introduced the Transformer toy. They introduced a toy that you could buy, that you could play with, that it starts out as a car, and then you could, you know, transform it yourself, and you had to know all the moves, and there's Optimus Prime right there. I didn't have Optimus Prime. We didn't have that much money. I got one of the little smaller Autobots, but when I was 9, I think I was 10 years old, it was Christmas, and I got Ratchet, which was the ambulance, and I used to play. That was my favorite toy. Love the Transformers. That changed the game, church. And now they got movies making multi-million dollars talking about Transformers. Now, church, what if you had the power to transform into whatever you needed to address whatever? Do you ever wish you could transform into a crime-fighting machine to stop all the criminal activity around you? You ever wish you could transform into a superhero with the power to just wave your hand and grant peace to any region in the world? Parents,
You ever wish you could transform into the quintessential problem solver that always has the right answer or right solution to give to your children when they're having a hard time with life? I love to be transformed. Recently, I was praying with someone. And as we were praying, this person began to pray, and that person began to cry, crying out over and over, it seemed, for the Lord to transform them. They were unhappy and dissatisfied with who they had become. They were hurting because of their perception of their relationship with God or their lack of relationship with God. And with tears and wailing, this person exclaimed, "God, change me. Change my heart." That person, church, longed to be transformed. Church, do you want to be transformed? What this person who prayed and what we all tend to acknowledge is that while we long to be transformed or we long for transformation, transformation isn't some superpower that we control within ourselves. In other words, I wish that at any given moment, I on my own could just transform. We all wish we had that skill and ability. You see, we all long to be transformed. Transformation is certainly a relevant and pertinent issue. In essence, all transformation means is change. It's pertinent to us, people who are Christians, people in church, people who read the Bible and look at Scripture, because from the beginning, from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation, there seems to be this issue of transformation. The Bible is a story of transformation from the very beginning. I mean, in the beginning, there was nothing. It was void. It was empty. It was dark. It was even chaotic. And what God did when he began to speak things into existence, he began to set in motion this idea of transformation. He began to transform the world. Continue to read the book of Genesis and we get stories of men and women who come into contact with God and their change. We hear about a guy by the name of Abram. Abram come and God calls him and says, "Follow me and I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to do some great things for you. I'm going to do some great things through you. You're going to be great. Your descendants are going to be great. And through your descendants, I'm going to bless the entire world. But before I do all of that blessing to everyone else, I'm going to transform you." Abram becomes Abraham. He becomes a father of many. God transformed him. That's the story of Scripture, church, that God transforms. You know, we go on and we get Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And Jacob comes into contact with God. And he was so passionate that God would do something in his life. He wrestled with God and God changed his name to Israel and Israel would become a great nation. God transformed Jacob and then Israel, his descendants, his sons and his sons' children and their children, they become this nation called Israel who were enslaved in Egypt, and God was going to enact a process of transformation where they were going to be transformed from slaves into a great nation, and he used this guy by the name of of Moses, who was a murderer and he was a fugitive and he didn't have a lot of confidence in himself, but God transformed him into a great leader to lead that great nation. And then there were others, people like Gideon, who was a weasel, and God called him to fight this nation. He said, "You can't use me to fight a great nation. I'm a weasel. My family's a weasel. I'm weak. I can't do anything." But God goes to him and says, "Mighty warrior," and God transformed. By the end of the Gideon story, Gideon is going out and jacking people up. He was so powerful because God transformed him. And David, he transformed from someone who took care of sheep and who just played music and soothed people's hearts by his soothing music. He becomes one of the biggest and greatest warrior machines that this earth has ever seen. He transformed him from this timid shepherd boy to a powerful king. And then we would get to the New Testament and we get the story of apostles, these guys that followed Jesus, and they were fishermen and they're tax collectors, but God transformed them into missional movers, those who would set in action a movement that we are a part of today because God first transformed them. And then Paul was, listen to me, a terrorist. Yes, whatever you define terrorist to be, Paul was a terrorist. He was a religious zealot who killed people because they didn't agree with his beliefs. But God transformed him, and he becomes the writer of what I just read when I said, be transformed. Don't conform to this world, Paul says. Be transformed. And he would know, wouldn't he? Because he knew the power of transformation. And church, this transformation is not self-activated. In fact, it is a process that God becomes the ultimate operator in conforming to the world. You are the one in control of following and matching your actions and attitudes with the world. In transformation, it is the working of the power of God that does the transforming. So Paul, instead of saying transform yourselves, he says, be transformed. Transformation is something that you allow to happen in your life as an intimate follower of Jesus, a disciple. You are allowing a work to be done in you when you offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You place yourself on the altar to be altered from the inside out. You place yourself at the place for God to do the ultimate work of transformation. And what are we being transformed into? It would be cool to have that power to morph into a superhero or an Autobot or something powerful that can get things done. But what we're being transformed into is actually something more powerful than that, cooler than that, and more useful than that, because we are being transformed into Jesus Christ. We're being transformed. And the place we start is at the altar. It's at the altar where we take our lives that's been brutalized, that's been wrangled, that's been put through the ringer. It's picture that person I spoke about earlier on their knees and tears flowing down their face saying, God, I need you to change me. It's one of the first places to start. At the altar, where we lay our lives down. Did you hear how Paul starts Romans 12 off? I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Worship. The place to start is not the 12-step program. It's not the 7 habits of highly effective people. It's not the 3 things you need to do to get things done. No, the place you start, those things might be helpful, by the way, but the place you start is at the altar. You lay your life down there and you say, you know what? I'm powerless. I can't do it. you know what? I'm tired of conforming to stuff around me. I'm tired of trying to be like everybody else. I'm tired of trying to achieve things on my own. I'm tired. I'm sick and I'm tired. I'm laying my life down at this altar, on this altar as a living sacrifice. God, I long to be transformed. And that's where many of us find ourselves today, sick and tired. It's probably the reason why the image we often get of someone who's just had it, it's just on their knees or on their face prostrate because they're tired. And they're saying, God, I'm going to lay myself down on this altar. You know, I believe that God has a mission for this world. And we can try to, you know, code it up and make it sound good and, you know, make it, you know, really, you know, nice sounding quip and, you know, oh man, that sounds cool. But at the end of the day, you know what God wants to do? He just wants to transform this world. And he's going to transform this world by transforming communities. And he's going to transform communities by transforming churches. And he's going to transform churches by transforming individuals. Now, many of us would love to be a part of a process, a part of a movement that transformed the world. That's great. How many people want to be part of a movement that wants to transform the world? How many people want to be part of something special and be a part of God's movement to transform this world? Guess what? You can't jump and start with transforming the world. You got to start with being transformed yourself. You know, transform, the Greek word for transform, it's the same Greek word used for transfigure. Remember Jesus when he was transfigured and he was changed in front of his apostles. That's an interesting story. You know, Peter, James, and John, you know, those are Jesus, like, I mean, he has some homies, but those was his homies, right? And he takes his homies up on this mountain, and there the text says Jesus was transfigured. He was changed. And as he was in his transfigured state, Moses and Elijah, They show up. And then Peter, who's an outspoken apostle, who we give a lot of grief. We even give him grief in this story because he speaks up and he says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. We should build an altar for Elijah and one for Moses and one for you. And we get on Peter. Peter, what are you talking about, man? What are you doing? Why, this is Jesus. What are you doing? Peter was doing what anyone would do. If you see three important figures like that, Moses was the dude. You hear me? Moses was the creme de la creme. Elijah didn't even die. He just went up. He just left. Peter was doing probably what all of us would have done. One, we would have been scared out of our minds. Like, what's going on with Jesus, right? What are these dead guys or these guys who were from, you know, hundreds of years ago? What are they doing here? Let's stop. Let's give Peter a break. But it was at that moment that a voice came from heaven. And God said, this, speaking of Jesus, is my son. Hear him. I think the reason that Jesus was transfigured on that mountain was so that the minds of his closest homies would be transfigured. He was changed in their presence so that they could have a change of heart. Yeah, it probably would have been an all right thing to do to venerate Moses and Elijah, but now there's a change. Hear him. This is now the reign of Jesus. You know, one of the things that happens when we lay ourselves on the altar to be changed, all bets are off. We put ourselves in position to have our lives altered, to have our hearts altered, to have our minds altered, to have our speech altered, to have our work habits altered, to have our spending habits altered, to have our prayer life altered, the way we treat our spouses altered, the way we treat our children altered, the way we treat our brothers and sisters in the church altered. When we lay ourselves down on the altar to be transformed, be ready to be transformed. That's why at the beginning of the worship service, we sang, I will give you all my worship. See, when you give some of your worship, you're saying, God, you can change some things, but not all things. You see, we want to hold back some of the stuff. God, we'll give you the stuff we think you can change, but some of the stuff you can't change. No. The minute you lay down on that altar and let it go, be ready to be transformed. Church, it is now February 2016. Already February. But it's still a new year. And this still can be a moment where we declare, we envision transformation to take place in our lives that we have never experienced before. By starting of a place, starting at a place of laying down on the altar. Let's watch this video together.
You are what we need.
I want to invite you, if you are able, and if you're not able, and even if you don't desire to, don't feel bad. I hate praying on my knees because I have bad knees, and it's often hard for me to get up. But there's something about that posture that communicates surrender. So I'm going to pray for myself. I'm about to lay myself at God's altar. And I'm going to plead with him to transform me, to change my life, to change my heart, to change my mind, to change my attitude, to change my approaches, to change my habits, to change the way I parent my children, to parent the way I love my wife, to change the way I spend my money. So I want to invite you to your knees, only if you're able and if you desire. Don't feel bad if you can't. Don't feel guilty if you're saying they're doing it and I can't. Don't. But even if you don't get on your knees, I want to invite you to this altar, God's altar right now. I want you to pray. I want you to plead with God. It might even be comfortable for you to turn around and put your elbows in a chair, but that's fine. Just do whatever you can do. And I want us to approach God's throne like we've never approached it before. I want us to pray to God like we've never prayed before. Not for Aunt Jenny's cancer. That's important. And we'll get to Aunt Jenny's cancer in a bit here. Don't pray for the Panthers to win the Super Bowl or the Broncos to win the Super Bowl. We'll get to that in a few moments. Right now, I want you to pray to God. I want you to plead to God like that person I shared with you who prayed, who wept and said, God, I'm tired of being what I am right now. I'm tired of being in the situation that I'm in right now. I'm tired of being in the bind that I'm in right now. I need you to change me. I need you to transform me. Church, let's pray. Father, we, your children, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Father, we pray that they be holy and acceptable to you. Father, we no longer will conform to this world, but we desire, we long to be transformed. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There were so many cracks that I just heard right now. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 from The Message. I'll read this. The message is yours. We will stand and sing. If you would like to be prayed for, prayed over, if there's something you want to share with the body, if you, like Katrina, want to give your life to Jesus Christ and be baptized into Jesus Christ, the water is warm and it's ready. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without ever thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I long to be transformed. Let's stand and let's sing.